relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
For those of you who are joining us now on this glorious Friday, Valentine's Day, just the top headlines, the most important things you need to know that are real news. Well, it's hard to choose. Where to start? Oh, yeah, Michael Avenatti guilty on all counts of extortion. 42 years potential time in prison. I guess he's not running for president. Attorney General Barr has appointed a special review individual, a U.S. attorney, who's going to look into the Flynn case. Very, very good news. And then what else shall we discuss? Oh, I don't know. Impeachment? Is it a zombie? Is it coming back? The best person to ask is our first guest for the second hour in studio, none other than Jenna Ellis. She is attorney to the president, senior legal advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign. We helped you get a job, I believe, to advise on impeachment because you came on the show and then the president hired you. And then he was acquitted. And I was worried, is she out of a job now? Thanks to the Democrats, I guess you're not, Jenna, right?
Well, you know, the Democrats will continue to beat this dead horse the same way they continue to beat the Russian narrative, the whole Mueller investigation. They just won't stop. And so you have people like Eric Swalwell,
yes,
you know, going on.
We played the audio
the
yesterday.
News. Yeah. And just saying, oh, everything now is an impeachable offense. They are looking for absolutely anything that they can just continue to harass this president and any of his allies.
Well, and they want to now impeach the attorney general.
Yes, which is just ridiculous. I mean, they cannot let this go and just allow this administration.
Are they going
to
impeach
function.
You?
So you know they would try. They would try.
If you do your job too well, you know the Democrats are going to call for Jenna Ellis's impeachment. I predict it right now. Okay, let's talk about something else that really we should discuss and that isn't being discussed, because while we have all this shiny objects over here, impeach the president again, impeach Attorney General Barr, which aren't going to go anywhere. The American people see through it. And again, guys, can you pay attention? If you don't have a supermajority in the Senate, you're not impeaching or removing anybody after impeachment. So we know it's a shell game.
It's a malicious prosecution. They keep filing false reports. I mean, this is like prosecutors just going after someone because they are against the person and it's in search of a crime. If this were a regular everyday prosecutor, which, by the way, I used to be one in the state of Colorado, and you had a law enforcement agency acting like how these House Democrats are, they would absolutely lose their job. And they would be just completely, the judge would call them out on it and
that's
say,
malicious.
Absolutely not. Yes.
Flip, frivolous, and malicious.
Yes. Yes.
Now, let's talk about, before I get to the real story I want to discuss, a caller raised a very interesting question. They said all of these apparent travesties, whether it's Roger Stone, first crime, 67 years old, recommendation 7 years in prison, or whether it's Mike Flynn, clearly 302s were forged, he was railroaded.
the caller said, all of these should be suspended until we get to the genesis of how all of this began, what the U.S. attorney from Connecticut is doing, John Durham. Is there any precedent in law? Can you make different investigations contingent upon each other, or do they have to be dealt with in a sui generis fashion, one by one?
That's a great question. And, you know, for each investigation, at least from what I know of the case, and obviously, you know, I haven't read the files myself. Right. I'm not part of the DOJ. But they should be prosecuted independently. But they definitely can wait until they have more information. And we have to remember that a prosecutor's ethical obligation and oath of office is to do the interests of justice and whatsoever justice requires. Wow. Your client is actually justice, not a political opposition, not weaponizing the system, and certainly not targeting political opponents. And so what we're seeing and why the American people are so frustrated with how all of this is going and now the, you know, McCabe contrast with Roger Stone and Flynn,
yes,
is that you can see that there's a two-tier level justice system, and that's not the interest of justice. Now, when I was a prosecutor, you look at the facts of the case, regardless of who it is, regardless of whether it's high profile, nobody's even
whatever
heard
their
of
last
it.
Name is.
It should not and does not matter, and it should not matter whether there's an R or a D after your name.
Okay. So in principle, something should or could happen. I love the way you put it, because the prosecutor's client is justice. Let's talk about something that nobody's talking about and that I think you have an eye to actually evaluate for us. Do you like peace, Jenna Ellis?
Absolutely.
You're in favor of it? Something called the pathway to peace. It sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, of course it sounds fabulous.
Sounds lovely, right?
Yes.
It sounds like Obamacare. Great, right? It sounds lovely. But it isn't, perhaps because this concept, pathway to peace, comes from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Whilst everybody's talking crazy things about impeachment and Bernie and everybody else, what is the pathway to peace?
Yeah, so we have to remember that there are still Democrats in the House that are trying to undermine U.S. sovereignty. So rather than calling this the pathway to peace, this should actually be called the pathway to globalism.
And what is it? What's
and
the plan?
So the plan here is to force the United States to essentially give up our sovereignty in three very critical ways. The first one would be requiring the U.S. to submit to international criminal courts, which would subvert our military. And our military may actually be court-martialed and called in to answer for war crimes in a global court
rather than our jurisdiction, somebody else's.
Yes. And then the second is the UN Convention on Rights of the Child, which, again, it sounds great.
Sounds
children
great.
Should have rights, right? Well, we remember the case of Charlie Gard in the UK.
Oh, my gosh,
that?
Yes, Baby Charlie.
Baby Charlie, where the parents could not direct and make choices for their own child because the government
said no.
And has the best interests of the child and gets to determine that. The United States has never signed on to the UN Convention on Rights of the Child because it would undermine parental rights in the United States.
So our sovereignty would be sacrificed to an international body.
Yes, which is what 156 other countries who have signed on. And we have seen the impact of that on parents like Charlie Gard's parents, like so many others that we've seen. And so this legislation would require the United States to become a signatory and actually ratify that convention, which is not a legislative decision. That's ridiculous. And then the third thing would be a requirement for immigration, migration purposes that would be decided, of course, within a global community. So we would lose our border control. This is absolutely insane.
So this isn't
that
a pathway to peace. This is a pathway to globalization over our sovereignty, no?
Absolutely. And this is legislation that she's actually introduced.
So this is a package of legislation that sounds, I mean, you raised this to me. I looked into it. And who else is paying attention?
Unfortunately, no one, because we have all the shiny objects of, oh, there's some kind of palace intrigue between Trump and Barr, which is totally ridiculous. You know, there's all these impeachment that Swalwell is, you know, making other noises again. You know, I mean, there's just all this other stuff that the mainstream, lamestream fake news media is paying attention to. And meanwhile, you have all of these Democrats that are weaponizing and abusing their limited powers of government. This woman should be voted out of office absolutely for putting this kind of legislation forth that is completely unconstitutional and completely against the interests of America.
So let's be clear here. I want to summarize so everybody understands what this is about. This is about a package of legislation that would commit us, the United States, to participate, number one, in the International Criminal Court so that, for example, our military, our soldiers, our airmen, our Marines, our sailors, our coast guards are under the sovereignty of an international court, not the UCMJ, putting them under all kinds of legal jeopardy from countries that hate us and would love to undermine us. Second, ratifying the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which again, like baby Charlie Gard, would take the control of our sovereign population underneath a UN body that could block certain measures when we deemed the rights of our child to be in our hands and not an international body. And then lastly, creating some global agreement on migration that would require mandate minimums of migrants, legal or otherwise, to be accepted into the United States. This is insanity. This is Orwellian.
Yes, it is. And it's, I mean, and when you look at even the parental rights, our own government here in the United States doesn't even have authority to unilaterally override that, much less the UN or some other foreign body. I mean, this is giving away so much of our national
sovereignty. Okay, guys, she's on the case. That's why we love having her here on the show. She's Jenna Ellis. Follow her, Jenna Ellis Esquire on Twitter, and let your voice be heard with your congressman, your senator. The pathway to peace is a sham and has to be stopped, and Ilhan Omar needs to be recalled or primaried. I am Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Stay by your radios.
Impeachment? What the hell was that all about?
And it hasn't stopped yet. It's not over. The craziness continues every single day, but we are here to help you navigate the shoals of insanity. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and this is America First on the Salem Radio Network. It's Friday, which means it's Second Amendment Friday. We'll have Terry Shepard, our good buddy, former Green Beret, with us in the last hour. It's also Ask Dr. G Anything. And you can call us on 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. But it's also National Security on Friday. And so very excited to have a good friend of the show and of mine personally, Professor Waleed Faris, Fox News. National security, just, I mean, it doesn't matter what topic you choose. If it's national security, foreign policy, Professor Faris is your man. Follow him, Waleed Faris, P-H-A-R-E-S. Professor, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Professor, for inviting me.
We have so much to discuss. I want to talk about Iran in a moment. I want to talk about kinds of things we could do in a second Trump administration. It would be very exciting when it comes to foreign policy. But first things first, Afghanistan, the Taliban. Do we trust these people?
Look, let me begin with the first letter. We cannot stay forever in Afghanistan. Okay. That we understand. Everybody has a consensus on this. We've stayed so many years under the Bush administration, 8 years. We actually did not much under the Obama administration to expand, but that is the point. Now, under the Trump administration, there are decisions to be made, and the president thinks that we need to redeploy.
After 19 years.
After 19 years. Now, your question, do we trust the Taliban? No.
No.
You and I, with all our books, we cannot trust the Taliban.
Because you wrote the book on jihad. That's
yeah, and
right.
You wrote all these famous books. So, no, we know that as scholars. But the question is what to do. Who do we give the incentive to the Afghan government? I have been pushing, and now with on your show, pushing the administration and Congress to do a alternative push for civil society. Look what's happening in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon. Let's talk to the Afghan people, as we are readying for withdrawal, for them to become the resistance.
Does that work in a country with 34 different languages based on a tribal structure? Hazar, Uzbek, Pashtun. Is civil society, in the way we understand it? Because remember, Iran, prior to 79, was an incredibly modern nation. When was the Afghan modern, Professor, is my question.
They were segments of Afghan society that were modern. We can see them on black and white pictures, but the overwhelming majority is still somewhere else, tribal, etc. Right. So we follow the path. In the north, we have allies. I mean, if something happened, the north will hold.
Right.
In the south, what we have not done from 01, especially under the Obama administration, and I'll add one word about the Trump administration, all that resistance against the Trump foreign policy led us to make this decision at this point in time. We could have made it before.
Right.
Would allow us to do work with tribes in the south. That's the alternative that I'm pushing now in Washington, D.C.
So this is, I think, a very workable proposition that we realize this is never going to be a federal state.
Mm-hmm.
It is very heterogeneous, tribal, many languages, different interests. But we have to try and buy in as many people to a resolution that allows them to take responsibility, maybe for just their portion of the country, whatever
it
is.
That's it.
And then with the proviso, we're going to get out of here, but if your territory, whether you're Kabul, whether you're Herat, whether you're anywhere else, Mazar Sharif, if your territory is being used by terrorists, there will be consequences.
Is
that a good summary?
That's a very good one. And actually what we can do, even the withdrawal, we'll do it piece by piece, and we will have to vet every piece we withdraw from and apply your theory.
The metrics.
Yes, to each one of those.
All right. Well, we've got a plan here. The president's one of the reasons he was elected, right? Stop the stupid endless wars. And he's a man who keeps his promises. Now, let's move over to Persia. Let's talk about this. This is from your good old buddies. This is from Front Page Magazine. I love this when I first heard it. I'm going to mention it again. So, the military advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, has told Iranians, look, I'm a Catholic. I think fasting is good. I try and fast at least once a week, sometimes two. But I've never heard this from a military advisor to a dictatorial regime, that Iranians outside of Ramadan should start fasting to show the enemy, America, that they can resist our sanctions. This is, doesn't this mean the sanctions are really working if the military is saying, guys, could you eat a little less?
That is evidence that the leadership, both political and military, in Iran, thanks to those sanctions and to all the pressures, maximum pressures, and also to the deployment we have done in the Gulf, Iraq, Syria, has pushed them to become disoriented. I mean, nobody would make such a statement unless they didn't know what they were talking about.
Right, unless they're in trouble.
Yeah.
How much has changed, Professor Faris, after our incredible targeting of Qasem Soleimani, the neutralization of the Quds Force commander in Iraq?
That's exactly the root cause of the statement you just mentioned.
Okay.
The Grand Ayatollah and all the grands of the Iran regime, he was the number two. Actually, he was the chief of staff
and he was like a rock star, wasn't he? The guy that this terrorist was treated like some big famous celebrity, the guru of irregular warfare and terrorism.
Yeah. And because they have given him so much power. And actually, what I would like to add to your audience, that a piece of this huge cash, $150 billion, he was in charge of. I mean, he had huge money.
Hang on. We're talking about the money that we released the Obama administration, which at the time, Secretary of State Kerry admitted, some of this money will be used for terrorism. Stunning.
Yeah, that is stunning. So Soleimani was the guy, was the nerve of the regime. Now, he made mistakes prompting the administration, that is, to take that action. Because for years before that, we didn't take that action. We knew exactly where he was. But he was preparing for attacks against our diplomats, soldiers, officers, and our allies.
Apparently hundreds of Americans could have died, along with Arabs and friends in the region.
Exactly. We saved lives. Actually, President saved lives.
So what next? In the last minute we have with you, Waleed Faris, what should the president's policy in Iran, just keep the pressure, or something different, something new?
Keep the pressure, keep the deployment, and also engage with the opposition.
Mm-hmm. So outside? Is it too hard to do it inside? Does it have to be people in exile?
No, he could do both. Symbolically, inviting a nice delegation to the White House, he's very good at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. We've got some ideas for this administration. All right. Well, the president is aware of the show. I spoke to him on Sunday. So
Good. Let's
try and get those messages to the White House. I actually had lunch with, I'm not going to get him in trouble, but a very senior national security bod from the White House, a good buddy today. And things are going very well, my friends. We're talking to Professor Waleed Faris, author of the really seminal work, Future Jihad. If you haven't read it, get Future Jihad now. And in the meantime, follow him on Twitter at Waleed, W-A-L-I-D, Faris, F-H-A-R-E-S. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. After our final segment with a good professor, we're back to your calls on 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752, live streaming on YouTube and Facebook. All 3 hours of the show will be posted on Instagram TV at 6 p.m. And don't forget our website, latest content, and 24/7 streaming, sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA. Back with a good professor after these messages.
Can't get enough of Dr. G? Want exclusive access? Unique content? Join Gorka's cabinet today. Go to sebgorka.com.
Yes, indeed. Become a member of my cabinet. You know you want to. sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and hit the Gorka's cabinet banner. Do it right now. We are back with my good friend, Professor Waleed Faris, Fox News national security contributor, author of the seminal Future Jihad. He's told me he's working on his next book with regards to Iran. Can't wait for that to come out. Let's look forward a little bit, Professor. I had lunch with a very senior White House official who gave me some incredible news about what's happening at the National Security Council. They've decimated. It is now a third of the size of this huge monster we inherited from the Obama administration. Great, great news. What should the qualitative content of national security and foreign policy look like if the president, God willing, is reelected in 262 days? Do we continue the policies as they are with regards to China, Iran, and Russia, or should there be some novel additions or modifications in the second Trump administration?
Professor, there'll have to be novelties. There will have to be readjustments. But what's happening right now, especially these months, is the setting up of those directions. So what the administration is doing, the NSC specifically, and of course the other entities, they are preparing the administration for that next stage. There are 9 ongoing conflicts that will be there in November and December. And so the next team or next teams to handle will have to be very specialized to zoom on the priorities. So the list of priorities is very, very important. And we need to have a clarity here in Congress. I mean, I have been very concerned about some of the votes with regard, for example, limiting the president.
Just yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yeah, I have never seen anything like that. And it's not really Democrats and Republicans. It's those who support the Iran deal and those who want to weaken the president.
But how strange that just a couple of weeks after the successful application of military force to kill the most dangerous terrorist leader in the world, you'd have Democrats and a handful of Republicans say, we want to limit the president's capacity to use force in Iran. This is not the right threat. I mean, did the death of Qasem Soleimani suddenly make Iran friends of ours?
It's a very strange thing. I mean, you and I have taught in academia and continue to teach. We know that the debate about limiting the presidential powers in times of war, we know that. We agree we can engage. It's in the Constitution anyway.
Right.
So we don't have to reinvent the Constitution. But to issue a resolution that is Iran-bound only is a message to Tehran.
Yes.
Had it been general, Mr.
Right.
President, don't do
right.
wars before
military force in general.
Oh, okay.
But Iran by itself after Qasem Soleimani?
This
must have made them happy. This must
of
have
course.
The supreme, the leaders, the IRGC, wow, we are so powerful that they want to handcuff the president's capacity to respond to us. Not a good sign to send to Tehran, is it?
Not, and not now, especially when we have the upper hand. There are demonstrations inside Iran. We have signaled our determination. We did those counterterrorism operations. We were successful in stopping missiles coming by sea. Our bases are attacked. And in the midst of this, a resolution that says, no, you cannot do these counterterrorism operations. They call them wars. It's no war. Right. These are CTE operations, as you know.
In the last minute and a half we have with you, Professor, please follow him, Waleed Fares, on Twitter, P-H-A-R-E-S. How significant, you just mentioned it, how significant are the events occurring inside Iran? That we're seeing these viral videos where women, young women, are tearing down the posters of Qasem Soleimani. This is different, isn't it?
Yes, it's like all these plays that talks about the day of no return, the point of no return, Phantom of the Opera. They are there. There is no way that Iran could return to what it was after 79.
Because so the genie is out of the bottle?
The genie is out of the bottle. Now, how long would it take?
Yeah.
Who will support it? What's going to happen? I am pretty confident. You know, for me, I do some very modest projections, but on this one, there is no reversal of the process.
Right. Question is, how robust and healthy is that internal dissension, whether those groups inside Iran can get a foothold? Are you seeing any signs of elements of the regime perhaps splintering?
Had we not sent the $150 billion, that's the answer. We have fueled the resistance by the regime.
We've made it stronger. We've made the...
Stronger and longer.
Yeah.
Stronger and longer.
Thank you, Obama. They always had that phrase, thanks, Obama. Yes, well, we can thank Obama for one thing, definitely, and that's releasing $150 billion to our deadly enemies. Not under this administration, not under President Trump. Our guest has been Dr. Waleed Fares, author of Future Jihad. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. See you back in the studio soon.
Yes, sir.
We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that affects the actual cause of your pain, the inflammation, doesn't mask the consequences or your pain receptors, and pain relief that's natural and has no negative consequences. How do I know that? I don't need to have talking points. I don't have a script. I've lived it now for 14 months. When Pete and Seth Talbot, the fabulous father and son team behind Relief Factor, came to me, I said, I'm not going to endorse this unless it's real and it works. And I've tried it. And I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and then what happened? 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. And that was 14 months ago. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans. See their incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com. And then you know what to do. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for yourself. It's just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take Relief Factor morning and evening, as do I, for 3 weeks, you will know at the end of that time whether it works for you like it works for me. As the president said at his rallies all the time, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls in a moment.
Really to see you get mad when Trump started lying about Hunter and saying things about Hunter. I don't know that you got mad enough.
Well, you know, I would like to be able to be back in high school and have just have he and I in a room.
Of course. I know.
I'd just like to be back. Is Biden doing it again? Is he threatening violence against the president? I'd like to rough him up. Him and Corn Pop and his hairy legs. It's not funny. It's really not funny. Why? Remember the story yesterday? NYPD sergeant retired, punched in the face by a woman on his 50th birthday because she thought he was wearing a MAGA hat? Does Biden even think about these things before he opens his stupid mouth? How about this story? New Hampshire man arrested yesterday, facing charges after he assaulted a 15-year-old supporter of President Trump outside the primary polling station in New Hampshire. Was he listening to you, Joe Biden? Which side is the threat to America? Which side has normalized violence? I want to post this article. It's from the rundown today, Eric. Let's post the whole article from our buddy John Nolte. This is Breitbart, the great, great John Nolte. I'm just going to... The title is about the violence of those who hate the president. I'll just read you the first sentence. His last year, as of March 2019, Breitbart News has documented 332 different political hate crimes against Trump supporters. 330. And you can, there's a link, an embedded link, and you can see all of the crimes committed. And these are crimes that the mainstream media had no problem with. No problem with. You know, whether it's, you know, the Covingtons or of that ilk, things that the media is fine with. This list includes physical assaults, vandalism, and the open encouragement of violence against individuals and groups based solely on their political beliefs. And Biden thinks it's cute. Let's go to our friends. Let's go. Oh, the call board is full. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Natalie, line 5, Cleveland, Ohio. Natalie, welcome to America First.
Oh, hello, Sebastian. I'm so glad to hear you.
Welcome.
I had surgery.
Happy Valentine's Day. You did? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Hurting.
You need some relief factor, my friend.
Yeah, really. But I got ice all over it.
Okay, good.
Rotator cuff and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
But, actually, will you do me a favor, Natalie? Whatever you're going to ask me, I want to send you a big, big bag of relief factor. Will you stay on the line afterwards and we'll mail it to you?
Oh, sure. I appreciate that.
Stay on the
line. Thank you.
What brings you to us on this lovely Valentine's Day?
Well, like I said, I listen to you all the time. And when you talked to that liberal just a while ago, man, you made me so proud.
The guy who had issues with General Flynn, that one.
Yeah. And it was just, how can you talk about Flynn like that? I mean, he was just, they don't do anything. They won't check anything out, you know?
No, and then they think, they ring in, they think they're going to catch me, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
That's it. And I listen to Hannity and everybody, and I enjoy you guys very, very much. But, you know, right now, that put a smile on my face when I'm hurting so bad.
All right. That's one of the best things you can do. That's the best medicine. Natalie, God bless you. Praying for a rapid recovery. And even better than the ice, we're going to send you a big bag of relief factor. So stay on the line, and Eric's going to take your mailing address. Let's go to our buddy, Leonardo, in New Jersey. Line 3. Happy Valentine's Day, Leonardo.
Hi, Dr. Gorka. I wanted to wish you and Katie and the children a happy St. Valentine's Day today.
Yes, thank you kindly.
And I wanted to say, I think that A.G. Barr positioned himself well with his announcements there on ABC. I have great confidence in him and Durham. I'm familiar with the legal process. And things do take a while. The whole situation, like I wanted to ask you, do you really think there should be such a concentration of just federal employees and bureaucrats in D.C.?
No.
We have such a vast country.
Could you imagine, Leonardo, how you change the culture of the deep swamp if, I don't know, the Department of Health and Human Services or the State Department or the Department of Agriculture was, you know, based in Missouri, Montana, Idaho.
Well, the State Department should be in Greenland
when we buy after we buy Greenland, right? We can put the State Department there.
After then, well, Vindman should get sent up there, and it, perhaps you know, with your part there with Jenna Ellis. Amazing that this doesn't get any coverage.
Ilhan Omar's idea that we have to have legislation that binds us to the International Criminal Court and gives us, you know, loses our sovereignty over our children.
When she gets voted out, perhaps she could get a job at the UN, and the UN could be relocated to the Wuhan province in China, where the coronavirus is going on. I don't get this whole globalism. It's the exact opposite of our Constitution.
It's the exact opposite of Western civilization, the concept of the Westphalian state. Do these people not understand why we live in nation states? Do they not know what the Treaty of Westphalia created in 1648, how the most effective means for human beings to exist together across this globe is in nation states, each of which is defined by territory and sovereignty? This is the undo. It's like when you get that one little thread comes out of your jumper and you pull it and you pull it and you pull it and the whole thing comes apart eventually. That's what they're trying to do. And that's what this pathway to peace concept from Ilhan Omar would do. Leonardo, have a fabulous, fabulous Valentine's Day and a long weekend. Don't forget, we have an incredible President's Day show for you. You want to catch it. If you are busy, if you're relaxing on Monday, don't forget, it's on the podcast. Go to iTunes, download the podcast app, including our new podcast for the election. It's called Battle for 1600 with Boris. I think episode 2 is already up. The Battle for 1600, look for it where all good podcasts are found. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with your calls here on America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Do you suffer from pain? Is it something you can't get rid of? Can I help you? Can I make a suggestion? I know you have choices. You can take regular painkillers. You can get over-the-counter or prescription painkillers. But how about something that isn't synthetic, doesn't mask the pain by affecting the receptors, but something that's natural and attacks the cause of the pain, which is, of course, the inflammation? It's called Relief Factor. Its ingredients have been proven over decades, in the case of curcumin, over centuries to affect pain relief. And I am now pain-free, 14 months pain-free because of this remarkable product. Find out if it could work for you as well by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You can't get anything for a dollar a day, but you can get Relief Factor. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. And find out if you can be the next success story, because you deserve it. Back with your calls on 833-334-6752.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
And we are back. Somebody's not very happy with me. She's calling from California, line 5. Yolan, welcome to America First.
Hi, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
I have to call you out.
I know. That's why I went to your call. Go ahead. What did I do?
You used the Lord's name in vain yesterday.
I didn't. I used it for a reason. Do you know what using the Lord's name in vain means? It means when you're using it for a bad purpose. How did I use it yesterday?
You were very agitated and you were angry. I understand that. But you never, God had nothing to do with your anger of what you were
thinking
of.
Oh, it did. It did. God had everything to do with it. Because I was angry because the truth.
God had everything to do with everything.
Yolan, I got to respond. I was angry because the truth had been abused, and God is the truth. He is the Word. He is the light. He is Logos.
But what does it say?
What does what say?
That you should not use the Lord's name in vain.
I did not.
Yolan,
you're going around in circles. I didn't use it in vain. So let's go to our theological referee. Leroy,
yes.
Pastor's son, engineer extraordinaire.
Thank you.
I felt bad yesterday when I said what I said. And then I asked you, hang on, Yolan, it's not your turn to talk now. Yolan, it's not your turn to talk now. You got to listen. What did you say to me when I felt bad about saying, God damn it, with regards to General Kelly's behavior?
There's a word called prurient.
Right.
And this is common base language. And in the circumstance where you were explaining the situation,
right,
You did not use it in a prurient way. You used it in a righteous way.
It wasn't titillating.
Mm. No.
It wasn't because I wanted to shock. I wasn't doing a Howard Stern.
No.
I was outraged. And when you are righteously outraged, you can use God's name because it's not in vain. Do you understand the difference, Yolon?
Yes, I understand the not in vain. And you can be outraged at many, many things. The world has plenty of things to be outraged about. But I don't believe that you should usurp God's name.
I didn't usurp it. Hang on. You can't jump from saying in vain to usurpation. It's the opposite.
Okay, well,
I'm appealing.
Okay.
I'm appealing to him in my righteous indignation.
So why didn't you say, dear Lord, or something like that?
Because I wasn't writing a love letter. I was angry at the behavior of General Kelly. Yolon, I really appreciate your call. But again, I think I've convinced myself, thanks to my pastoral advisor, Leroy, in vain means when you do it with a bad purpose, when it's not the requisite purpose, but when it's about justice, truth, and when it's righteous anger, the Lord is not taken in vain. I love the call, though. Keep keeping yourself true to the Lord.